I mean, you know, I'm just freestyling. I'm just freestyling, man. Like, yo.
I'm mad at you.
The legend of Cuddles.
The legend of Nipsey Cuddles, man. Oh.
I can't.
Oh, I just want to try it.
Legend of Nipsey Cuddles.
Nipsey Cuddles, man.
I can't.
Yeah, man. It's cat. And cats, man.
Ain't some of the realest shit ever.
Realest shit.
Hey, I mean, I'm pretty sure the fans would appreciate that way more than the fucking Cats movie rendition.
Yeah, I really don't need that. See, I'm like, rendition of Cats.
Shit was terrible, man. Glad I didn't watch it. Don't plan on it.
So, Allison Pill says, you know, we'll be about the time to do a Scott Pilgrim reunion. They're ready for it, which I find awkward that that comes up on the heels of, you know, the
conversation we just had.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, perfect timing.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I mean, it would be cool if we actually had a con to go to, or we had footage of them being at a con. But if they can't do it at a con, I don't really want it from. I don't really want it from people like being on Napster. I mean, being on fucking Zoom and being on fucking like
digitally. Oh, we shot it all on this. Bro, and just wait. Made it. Yeah,
just wait. If you don't, waited this long, but just wait till you can do it right. You ain't got to do it from behind the screen,
right?
Because to that, it's just it ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, man, we gonna want y'all to do that when we get back to whatever. Like, you're hoping this is not the new normal. You know what I'm saying? Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Ninja Please Podcast.
Hey, what up?
Yo, I am your host, Yuki, a.k.a. Tomiki Black, a.k.a. Fox Blunt, a.k.a. the Golden Karama, and I'm here with some of the greatest ninjas to ever do it, that ever will do it. And we're doing it analog and digital, because the pod must part. Fellas, want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, man. Got the one and only Tanuki, the Macchio Metal. You know what it is. The Sorcerer Supreme. The one Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Platinum level.
Ooh.
Wow.
Shirking.
And all the way from the...
Kuna.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. All the way from the digital verse.
Celeste, Scarlet, aka Scarlet, aka me.
That right?
Did I just drop in from the rift at the right time?
Yeah, this one I'm playing. I was like, you dropped in at the perfect time. Like, damn.
All right.
Then Lord Black. AKA Black, AKA Midnight Sun. Yeah, Black Wolf.
In this thing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Alright, so this morning I decided to get up and typically this is like when I just try to catch up on my shows. Now Black, we're gonna have to get into it. I was able to catch up on Harley Quinn this week, but prior to me watching that, I was like, you know, I'm going to get on HBO. And I was going to watch Bill Maher because I love him, see him call other crazy-ass white folks out of this shit. It's pretty cool. It's pretty funny. Motherfucker's funny. Step over the line, but, you know, whatever. Cool. I fuck with Bill Maher. Anyway, I decided not to watch that this morning. There's a documentary on HBO. It's a series of McMillions. Where they basically tell the story.
Boy, listen here.
Oh.
God damn. What is it?
They
Monopoly.
Of the McDonald's Monopoly. Trip. It's they a whole series about what happened with the people that actually won it. Because you never really heard of the people that actually won it. Because, bro.
Nobody ever did.
That shit was a scam. And that shit went deep.
There was a motherfucker running that shit like he was running drugs, boy.
Bro, and I only seen the first two episodes. I only seen the first two episodes. But then the first two episodes, I find so much information about it. Like one thing that I thought was the craziest shit was they were printing these bitches north of Atlanta.
Yep.
For the whole country, for the whole McDonald's game. And McDonald's outsourced it to this company called... Simon Marketing or some shit. They outsourced it. They were like, nah, we make burgers and shakes and fries and shit. We don't make commercials. So they outsourced the commercial. But the company that they was making it with was like using it to like people on the inside was like making money. And then of all things, bro, the mafia got involved in the shit. Literally became some mob shit.
What?
Came some straight up mob shit. Where imagine you just chilling, the dude come to you and be like, bro, you want $1 million? You're like, bro, get the fuck out of here talking about the crazy shit. Like, nah, bro, you want $1 million? It's like, nah, bro, for real. Like the Monopoly shit. He was like, bro, I'll give you a game winning piece for $2,000. Like, $2,000? He said, bro, give me $2,000 right now, and when you win, Give me half a million. And he said, I'll give you the piece. You may be like, bro, get the fuck out of here, bro. I ain't giving you nothing. Then the nigga just be like, no, fuck the 2,000. Hit a game piece. Just give me $500,000. And you end up winning it. Cash it in. You win $1 million fucking dollars. And he won't, you know, you got to pay taxes. He's still getting $500,000. But that was the way that they was making their money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ways more or less, they was getting people to get hooked up. They were giving the hook up.
After the taxes, you probably get about like 750,000, and that nigga still get his
500. Mhm. And he was doing this shit. He was picking the win. They were picking the winners of whoever got the money, and they get like half of that shit. Give you enough the way you got to be the fall guy. They pretty much paying you to be the bro. That shit went so fucking deep.
Yeah, it was you'll win, but if it come back on you, you got to be the fall guy.
That's a testament to the fact that you watch it and everybody in the damn that was involved in the shit start testifying. They all just start snitching. They all start telling, look, this is what happened. FBI catch them. It's like this shit looked like it would have made a good movie. And then I remember in 2001 when this story broke, because that's when it broke. It broke in 2001. That's what happened to the Monopoly game, because motherfuckers were cheating. They were like, the same thing happened to Publishers Clearing House. It happened to like all them little games that they had like that back in the day. I won't be surprised if Super Toy Run was part of that shit.
Damn. And I was going to tell you about some shit. Super Toy Run did an interview with like
two of the got kids that won. Yeah. I said somebody a couple weeks ago.
I'm waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, I got to see that because I'm like, I need them to talk about that.
Yeah, I got to see that shit.
Wait, the Monopoly show?
No, the Monopoly's on HBO, but Super Toy Run.
Nickelodeon back in the day.
Remember the Super Toy Run?
Yeah, I remember that shit.
If you go to Toys R Us and, you know, if you bought something from there, you technically, quote unquote, had a chance to win a ticket to the Super Toy Run.
You send a postcard in. If you get the Super Toy Run, they give you...
You get to run around and get whatever you can.
Yeah, I think it was like 15 minutes or something like that.
Yeah,
to run around a Toys R Us and get whatever you want.
Whatever you put in that buggy, that's what you get. You get to keep. I mean, that was classic shit, bro.
Yeah.
I remember that shit.
Speaking of classic shit, Disney actually owns the rights to Nickelodeon's Doug when they bought Disney's Doug. So they have the full Doug from Nickelodeon on Disney Plus right now.
Damn.
Talk about flex. They have the whole Doug
Disney
series.
Disney making some straight up power moves, bro.
Like, they got the whole Doug series on Disney Plus. They don't have Aladdin series, and we talked about that last week. I'm not getting that again. But they do have Doug on there. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the things that a lot of people excited about. And I ain't tripping because, you know, I fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? I actually like Disney's Doug. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I was one of the few in that regard. Because people was like, nah, it ain't the same. I was like, nah, because I want Doug to grow up. I want to see what he'll do now that he's older. Like, I kind of like the fact that he grew up. I didn't want him to stay the same age.
Now that he's out of middle school, what happened?
I wanted Doug to be a damn tattoo artist, man.
I mean, the fact that Doug's grandma introduced him to sushi, and that's the only reason I ate sushi. Only reason I ever tried sushi because I watched the cartoon when I was a little kid, and they had an episode where he went with his grandma and ate sushi, and he liked it when he heard it was gross.
No, Doug made me feel good about liking liver and onions.
Oh, liver and onions fucking gross.
No, you can say that, but I like liver.
But
it's high in
sushi.
Zinc, bro. You need zinc in your life, Doug.
I gotta take pills, nigga.
No, Doug, just eat you some liver, man.
Ugh. No, I ain't fuck with that now. Nah. I ain't damn sure didn't fuck with it then.
Yeah, man, liver and onions, dog.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, thank you.
Fucking old man.
I am an old man, dog. I like my alcohol to taste like bootstrapping burnt barrel.
You old man, bro.
He said, got the old man. No, hell no.
Like, I tell anybody, dog, I like my alcohol when I drink it neat. I want it to taste like bootstrap or burnt barrel.
And burlap.
And burlap goddamn bags. Hell yeah, dog. I want my steak to be medium to medium well with a little salt and pepper. Don't put no extra. I mean, you can put a little bit of sage or some thyme or whatever. Don't overdo my shit. I don't put no steak sauce on my steak or nothing. None of that
shit. You say don't put steak sauce on the steak. I don't. Let me know.
Put mustard on my hot dog, bro. No, like, I don't fuck around.
You don't even put ketchup on the hot dog. No,
only mustard.
Oh, he a classic
mustard.
Man.
Only mustard. You're
fucking
dog.
Classic man. Yo. Up. This man a classic man for real.
Yeah. That's all I
gotta do. I don't play around, dog. Like, cause, when we did the whole Easter dinner thing, my uncle's friend was giving me shit talking about them hot dogs. I got to question you about that because they was a little blistered up, but I didn't bust them open. They were hot dogs. Like, I don't bust hot dogs open.
I don't bust them
open. I don't. I only bust open sausages and bratwurst. Them the only thing. If it's a hot dog, like...
You like it to be...
Long. I mean, I'll cook it all the way through to the point where it's got them little blisters on, but I don't bust them.
Well, I don't bust them open.
No,
yeah,
bust it, baby.
On the side.
Yeah, exactly. But I did that.
The on the side.
Yeah, but I did that though. That's what I did. She's like, no, they're supposed to be busted open. I'm like, nope, I only do that for sausages and bratwurst. Nope.
No.
I don't do that.
You only do that when it comes to bratwurst.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Mayer, she gonna bust it wide open.
Right, Oscar Mayer, she gonna bust. Exactly. Exactly, bro. But I don't mess around with that, dog. Gotcha. Only mustard on my hot dog. I don't fuck around with steak sauce on my steak, bro. Mm-mm.
I was gonna ask you, goddamn A1 and High 57, but damn, you know. No,
but see, I'm gonna tell you, it's crazy because I grew up, my mom likes A1, my dad likes High 57. It's weird. And then the barbecue sauce that my granddaddy makes is mustard based. So it's like, it would be Heinz 57 all the way, technically, because Heinz 57 is also mustard based.
Think about Heinz 57. Heinz 57 tastes better on pork than it do on beef.
Because and it's A1 tastes to better be put on beef. That. Right.
Than it do on anything else.
On exactly. Yeah. Vinegar is used for pork or tough red meat. That's all it's for.
Right.
That's all it's for.
Like brisket? Yeah, bro. Throw some Heinz on some goddamn brisket, bro.
Oh, hell no. If you make a damn. No, if you gonna cook a brisket and you make a marinade, get you some olive oil, get you some a little bit of vinegar if you don't have no Worcestershire sauce or no that liquid smoke or no soy sauce or no teriyaki or nothing like that, put you some vinegar in there.
I'm gonna
then
find me
put
some,
you some dry rub on it.
I gotta find me some exotic fishes.
I'm telling you, dog.
I gotta find me some exotic fish. Y'all think I'm bullshitting. I gotta find me some exotic fish.
I got the seasoning for you, dog, because that's what I did with the salmon, dog.
Yeah, that's I've been
cultivating. I've been cultivating that seasoning for a long time. Because I don't cook fish on the grill that often. And when I cooked that salmon the other day, I was like, yeah, I'm finna.
Oh, no, if you got you some red snapper, boy, grill that shit.
Oh, yeah, because it's snapper, man.
And it's in season right now.
But you can't go fishing, dog, because we all quarantined.
Nah, you can go fishing, shit. I mean, safest distance, you in the middle of the damn water, boy. But I'm, that's what I'm saying.
Do you have a boat? Do you have a boat?
Bro, if I did, bro.
Exactly. That,
bro, if I did, bro, you think I'd be fishing every...
You'd have been in Savannah right this weekend.
Bro, I'd be in the Gulf right now, bro, fishing.
Shit fishing. Be,
dead ass, bro, I'd be fucking fishing. I wouldn't be seeing nobody. Bro. I'd be fishing. That's all I fucking do right now. It's like, what you doing? Shit, fishing.
Fishing.
Like, what you do? Fishing, nigga. Fishing. I just fish smoking and hanging out.
Right.
Get me some good ass whiskey.
Fishing, reading comics.
What? Fishing.
Fucking...
You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
Yeah. I bought me a hammock.
Looking at the stars, my dude.
I bought me a hammock today.
Have fun with that. I hate hammocks.
Really?
It make me feel like a sloppy ass taco.
They make.
I'm
going like...
to put up my swing next month.
Is it,
my aunt left me a swing. I'm finna put that bad boy on the front porch. I was I just sitting like, on the front porch.
I feel like
the
protein in a terribly made taco when I lay in a swing.
I love fucking hammocks, man. Like,
yeah, it's relaxing.
As, even as a kid, my uncle used to have a net hammock. I remember the first time I got in that motherfucker, that bitch turned over flat, fell right on my goddamn stomach. Like, ugh. That shit just spit me out.
Yep.
I like them motherfuckers. It's one of them ones you can zip up and turn to it. You, like if you hung it in a tree, it's one of them. Well, if you hung up high in a tree, you could just chain that bitch up and just zip that.
Right, and you just high
zip that bitch up. Nigga, wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, it's an owl on your goddamn ankle, nigga. Just
right, just hanging out. Like, hey, yeah, hanging out.
It's like, bro, don't open that shit.
Right.
About some yellow cake.
Sasquatch is right there behind you. Don't.
It's like, bro, don't open that shit.
Don't open that shit.
You like, oh, shit.
Oh, okay, my bad, dog.
Yeah. I wouldn't zip my stuff up and no shit like that. You can't see what's coming.
Nah, you have to. I mean, that high ain't nothing fun to fuck with you. You just hope none of them shit land on your ass.
Right. If you high up in a tree, bears don't usually climb a tree.
You gotta worry.
They tell you to put your
foot. You got to worry about a fucking bird, nigga. That your only fear is gonna be a damn bird coming up there. I ain't worried about nothing from the ground. I'm worried about this big ass taloned ass fucking raptor,
bird of prey,
ripping my fucking ankle off. Cause I'm like, oh shit, it's an eagle on my ankle. Well, you say that, but I'm scared. It's an eagle on my ankle.
Right. See, I like camping, though, so I don't give a fuck.
I feel you.
Only thing I'm worried about is if I was ever in an area where bears and all that shit was regular, because I don't fuck with that.
The bear.
How about, like, when we went to that cabin in Tennessee back in 2015?
Funny. It's funny that you say that, because when me and a certain somebody was dating, we went to a cabin as well, and a bear paid us a visit.
I don't know what you're talking about, that bear.
Yep. He paid us a couple of visits.
He's like, ain't nobody had no pistol.
Nothing.
No shotgun. I was like, you damn, boy, if I'm going camping, boy.
And everybody's like,
it's in the trunk.
I need you to take the trash out so to make sure the bear doesn't come back again. Fuck that.
Run from the fucking bears, man. Well, I learned.
Bro, we in the house. Stay in the house.
Run.
Yeah,
run, nigga, run. Nah, but I see a fucking bear. It's over with.
Yeah, dog. Mm-hmm. Bitches are huge.
Yeah, man. And we done seen the worst of bears. Shabba-da-doo.
Right. Shabba-da-doo.
Shabba-da-doo.
Like, fuck that, dog.
These fucking bears, man.
Life is sexy, but you won't be after you fuck with that bear.
Nah, man, that's how DiCaprio won his Oscar. He let that bear beat his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he let him, but.
Dog, Wolf of Wall Street was a better movie than Irreverent or whatever the fuck it was when he was in that, got mauled by that bear.
Wholeheartedly.
I was like, bro, how did he not win an award for Wolf of Wall Street, but he won one for Irreverent? Like,
thank you.
What the fuck? The Revenant. I'm like, how the fuck did he win an award for Revenant?
That all
he
movie did was get mauled. Crap compared to half of what Leonardo DiCaprio had done before.
Boy, I'm talking about Revenant wasn't better than Catch Me If You Can. I'm just like, boy, y'all been robbing DiCaprio for years. Y'all gave him one.
DiCaprio for years, and I was so mad when he won for the movie where he didn't do shit in it.
Bro, he there got mauled and won an award. I'm like, come on, man. Y'all disrespecting that man.
The person that should have won it that year, they didn't give it to. They were like, but we got to give it to DiCaprio at this point.
What year was that?
When I did not like that movie. He was not good in that movie.
I didn't hate the movie. I didn't hate Revenant. I didn't hate it. But at the same time, it was just like
Oscar worthy.
It was just like Oscar worthy role, bro. I've seen Catch Me If You Can. I've seen Wolf of Wall Street. Like, bro, I've seen DiCaprio kill shit. Like, bro, I seen Django.
No, I was about to say hands down Django. That motherfucker
Django
cut his hand open and bled on screen, and y'all motherfuckers didn't even know it.
Dog, like, he, dog, all, I just, we just named three movies DiCaprio killed that he should have gotten an award for. But I'm sorry, Revenant just, bro, you getting mauled, and a Native American being your baby mama just ain't, don't warrant me a movie to you. Like, you trying to get back to your son because of.
Fucking Shutter Island, man.
Wolf of Wall Street, Inception, and The Departed. And Shutter Island.
Bro, the fact that.
Those performances. From
Leonardo
DiCaprio?
Yeah, and Departed, dog. That shit was. First off, Martin Scorsese. Second off, it was a fucking all-star cast in the movie.
Yes. Bro. Incredible.
Departed was better than The Irishman. I'm gonna just go ahead Departed was better than The Irishman.
Yeah.
I'm just like, nah, bro, The Irishman was cool, but Departed was way better.
The Departed was perfection. That is one of my top movies. I just. Him The Departed, Wolf of Wall Street, Shutter Island, and Inception.
See, Ma got those Robin, movies, so me on goddamn.
I don't even know. I don't Wolf really
Wall
know
Street.
If
Wall Street, DiCaprio
was even nominated for Inception. But my God, like those four movies, and you gave it to him for a movie where you were just like,
no, no. I'm sorry, Wolf of Wall Street. Movie? First off, this motherfucker was pop locking in the movie. Second off, when that motherfucker started took the lemons and then he couldn't get back in his Ferrari,
the
man.
Quaalude
I'm
scene,
sorry, bro.
The Quaalude
that
scene.
That shit looked
dog,
too real.
This motherfucker was had to be
how
fucked
many,
up on that Quaalude
many,
scene.
Right,
he
how
was
many
really
weeks
fucked up.
Of video was he watching to see somebody overdose on Quaaludes like that to be able to mimic it like that?
Bro, he got...
Like, Quaaludes...
But he had...
No, the thing is...
Dog, he
Quaaludes
got...
Quaaludes don't exist no more.
I get it. I'm just saying...
You don't even know how
the
fuck somebody
had,
gonna act
but
on
DiCaprio
Quaaludes
was
now.
Fucked up when he did that whole scene with the car. Like, they walked him through it. Like, they almost...
They didn't walk him... That nigga was
no, no, no.
Up on some
I seen
bro.
I seen the shit they were talking about on that scene right there. Like, he was committed to being, like...
Yeah. As authentic as possible.
Yes, in that scene. And the fear was, bro, we don't... You can't crash this car.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, because it's expensive.
It was just like,
that
bro,
was
you,
supposed to be a, what, 1980?
That was like, bro,
Ferrari?
You can't crash this car, but we want to get this shit authentic.
Yeah.
But so that was like, boy, like, man. It's stuff like that I grow to appreciate when it comes to, like, you know.
That's method acting at its finest. That's why you got to respect.
Yeah,
thank you. Gangs of New York. Shia LaBeouf.
Gangs of New York.
Shia LaBeouf. You got to respect them, though.
And The Aviator. I forgot about those movies. Those were also movies that he was in that were incredible. And, of course, was
yep.
Eating Gilbert great.
Look, man. I'm Gilbert.
Yeah. I love What's Eating Gilbert great.
Man, that's the greatest movie of all
one
time.
One of the best movies. It was one of the best movies. And he was
all right,
you're going to
have me calling Cobra up.
That motherfucker don't know what it is.
That's his shit.
Yeah, that's his shit, but he don't know what it is. That shit. I'm Gilbert, dog. I don't give a fuck who thinks they anything. I'm Gilbert, motherfucker. And I know that. And then, what was the guy's name?
I didn't know Leonardo DiCaprio was supposed to be in the Akira remake.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Kaneda.
Remake. Yeah, he's supposed to be in Akira. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I guess, is read to all the other Baby Metal fans that are out there. That's part of the one, officially or unofficially. Last weekend, they gave us the, I think it was, Legend M Special, I think that's what it was, on Friday and Saturday of last weekend. So, I guess in order to pay something back to them, I'm going to read the preface from Apocrypha, the graphic novel, The Legend of Baby Metal. This is what the back says for you guys. Discover the myth of the worldwide music sensation, Baby Metal. Tasked with defeating the forces of darkness and division, the metal spirits must travel through a variety of eras of time, assuming different forms and identities. What we are seeing is not the Baby Metal of the present. It's the original story based on Baby Metal. You've hidden metal spirits, Apocrypha of the metal resistance will emerge. It is a dance across the universe, a balancing act of dire consequence. Only those with empathy for both sides can broker peace. The Fox God, a shapeshifter of superior intellect and compassion, was given the responsibility by the higher order. The Fox God was given the task of governing the world of man, but mankind is cynical. His trust in being of intelligence is married with jealousy. Fear rules his heart. He builds barriers but crumbles from the inside. Mankind fears the other and in the process becomes the other. Because of this mistrust, the gods rarely appeared in the world of men in their natural form. To be seen by man is to be trapped in his fragility. The fox god knew that this war was one it could not directly fight. Hence, the fox god created the metal resistance, elemental spirits whose charge it was to govern the balance of good and evil on earth. A signal to noise carried in the wind, to quell the silence of death with sound, to meet fire with ice, and ice with fire. The resistance have faced foes of all shapes, forms, and powers, Evhan responded with equal grace and elan. But evil as anti-life is vast, and it will manifest in ways never before seen. This is chapter 1, Poisoning the Earth. The Vulture God Awakens. A battle told through memory, a perceived loss, and reunion.
That shit sounds gnarly as fuck.
So that is the preface of Apocrypha, History of Baby Metal. So if you guys want to know about that or you want me to keep reading it, there you go. Well, if you guys want to read it on your own, that's what it is. You know, you can find it online. You know, get it, take it home, have it mailed to you, read it. You can talk about it after the fact. That's one of my favorite bands, you know what I'm saying?
Turn the page. Wash your hands. Turn the page.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, I feel that.
No, yeah, like, y'all don't understand. I really have gloves on. I did not touch that graphic novel without these on. Like, yes, it's the real deal.
Real dealio.
No, for real, man. Like, that's what I was... Well, I guess what we were talking about as far as K-pop and J-pop and all that stuff.
Man.
They got storylines that go...
Bro, that is some fascinating... Like, I don't know, man. People having little side stuff like that with their marketing. Yeah. That's just outside the box thinking. That's just not done over here. It's a completely different market. That's why it's just so fascinating when I hear about it. It's
been done in a long time. Like, wrestling used to do it.
Yeah, but
they don't do it anymore. Like,
you're getting that with music. And people, yeah, like, that's the whole...
It's separate, though.
Yeah. Like, that's what people want. Like, that... Yeah.
Like, Gerard Way fucking... Umbrella Academy. That was separate. That was independent. Right. He did that on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Coheed and Cambria. That the what was it? Two or three different comic book titles they came out with.
Right.
That was different. Like, that was all independent. That was just stuff they wanted to do that was in the same vein of entertainment. True. But it's like, people ain't thinking about doing that.
You might be right, though. I don't know. It's just like outside the box, like shit that gets you excited. But you know, it ain't none of it I hear people begging for.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you know, listen to them like that.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Just like Cassiel said, like, if you listen to this certain K-pop group or whatever, you follow their storyline. So, you know.
Incubus just dropped their Trust Fall Part 2. The B-side.
I just heard about. So, that would be cool. Which, yeah, you posted the other day.
Yeah, man. It's pretty dope. You know, Incubus.
Yeah. But I mean, Brandon's just imagine old. If Incubus had some, like, ARG going on. Like, augmented reality game.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You know, they created this little, what would you call it? hide and go seek or fucking
true,
you know, what's it, scavenger hunt type shit that's based around Incubus. And then by the time you get to the end of the game, you can get this special edition DVD or some shit. Like, people aren't doing stuff like that.
Nah,
they don't engage with the fans or the culture around
them. I mean, because it's so close.
Yeah.
It just hit so close to home, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's one to think on.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much just take what you get, because it don't have the same impact as it used to.
No, it doesn't.
And it's never going to get that again. It's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that era is over with.
No, maybe it's not. If we can play this shit right, maybe people will start to develop that connection that they used to have back in the day.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, think about it, dog. Like,
that's more of a supply and demand situation. If you ain't demanding, I can't supply.
But, I mean, it depends on how you play it. Depends on how you play it, man.
I can recommend art, but I can't create right. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. I can recommend art.
Yeah. But I can't make this.
But I can't make their art, bro. They got to make it.
Yeah. We can all be hopeful.
Yeah. On that front, I see you.
Think about PlayStation 2 back in the day. Like, you could call in, hey, call in to this line just because you wanted a hint on a video game.
I ain't know about that.
I mean, it's not going to be anything like that. But think about in the social atmosphere we have now.
Right.
It won't necessarily be you call this number and you hear the voice of this video game character that you were playing as on the game. It's right. Not that direct. You know what I'm saying? But say, for instance, every other Friday, every other Saturday, the developer of the game or somebody from the dev team of this game is online, and you can play with them and you can get up with them and talk to them directly on the headset. You know what I'm saying? Like, because everybody is isolated now. Like, that's the way that gaming is going. That's the way entertainment is going. I can kind of see that being the way that cons would probably go in the next 2 years or so.
Right.
Like, I mean, it won't stay there, but I could kind of see that being the main interface.
Like a 3D con.
Yeah, 3D or, you know, remote con.
Right.
So to speak. Like, you don't necessarily have to watch the whole fucking broadcast, but, oh, Marvel's supposed to be going on from 6 to 8. So you go to the Marvel site and you watch what they got going on based on they're supposed to be at Comic-Con or whatever it is. But it's from 6 to 8. So you go and watch them do their Marvel thing from 6 to 8 and talk about all the shit they want to talk about that they coming out with. Then you go to this other site and that's whatever is streaming talking about what they're going to do. It doesn't have to necessarily be, oh, you got to come to this building and listen to us talk about it. You can watch it whenever you want to watch it. If you want to tune in live at this supposed time, then you can type in, ask us questions, directly interact with us. If not, you can just watch it. Have a good time.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's what E3 is going to do this year. It's all based on whoever still wants to present still can. You just have to go straight to their channel. I mean, you want to watch their shit? Go to Bethesda's YouTube channel. Watch it. You want to see what the fuck that Obsidian's going to do for Outer Worlds for their DLC for next year? Well, go to the Obsidian shit and watch what they talk about, you know, that 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, this company based out of Japan, you're going to watch them at 2 a.m. because that's like 8 a.m. in Japan. Then you can watch that shit. Like Nintendo, like how Silv was showing earlier, that new game that's about to come out. That was a Nintendo Direct that came out today. Like, if you want to know what Nintendo's doing, follow their channel. Mm-hmm. They'll show you directly. So, I mean, I kind of feel like that's the way that cons are going to go. At least for the next 2 years, unless people start going back to the physical building.
Okay.
That's the best way I can put it.
You might have some bold prediction, but it's not looking good.
No, man. I mean, it's not. They canceled Dragon Con. I know it's real.
Real shit.
That's all I can say.
And say less.
Hello.
Well, you got people out here looting up the goddamn PlayStation 5 controller.
You know what Bruh.
That the thing is
DualSense 5. You know.
I seen it. They ugly. You don't like them. You want some different fan service.
It looks kind of nice to me. I like it.
It ugly.
I like the way it looks. It'll probably feel good in my hands.
Ha!
Pause.
Ain't no pause. I know what I said.
You said it's going to fundle diddly.
Hell no, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say that at all. But, you know, the price tag on the 5 is going to be close to, you know.
How's the 5 really going to look? I've seen so many pictures and I don't know what the fuck to believe on how.
I don't know anywhere about that. I just want to know what the specs are.
Oh, he said specs. Black ass, how much?
$5 to $550
He's like, shit.
That's a lot of money. That's like half of a grand.
Man, you spend more on your phone than you do that. So
thank
I'm like,
so why are you even?
If you want it, you're going to get it.
Let's not go there. Thank you.
I'm going to get one of them. Talking about.
The sad thing about it is they've already gone ahead and confirmed that after the first G, there's going to be a shortage.
Sensational.
That's not sensational.
I know.
After G1, it is not going to be sensational. Because everybody's going to be trying to get one, and you won't be able to because you can't get components. They can't get them now, and the few components they do have, they're already speculating that it's going to be really tough to refill these orders after that first wave of PlayStations come out.
Yeah, I never get the first wave anyway.
Right. I'm the ones to get the blue chip of death and all the other extra shit.
Right. They're speculating that between 5 and 6 million units will ship by March 2021. So.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, but the Xbox is already.
I forgot they had something coming out.
Yeah, the Xbox is already slated to cost $560, almost $600. So. Yeah.
I gotta go.
Yeah, powered by a custom CPU from AMD, 8X Zen 2 cores at 3.5 gigahertz, 2.23 gigahertz processing, producing 10.28 teraflops right now. That's what the speculated stats are. And almost have a terabyte SSD for the first version. It's 8.25, but you might as well say 1 terabyte.
Talking about specs?
Yeah. USB-C. Adaptive triggers, which will learn your tactile sensitivity as you use the controller more. So basically, as you use the controller, it will learn how you use it. So it'll learn that when you tap the controller like this, that means you want to push the button this way. If you hold the button, you want to push it like this. And it says worried. It will play an overwhelming majority of PlayStation 4 and, you know, backwards games, so. The long answer, yes, it will have backwards compatibility.
To a degree. To a degree. I still don't understand why.
Oh yeah.
PlayStations do not run.
Oh yeah.
PS1 shit. Like,
I don't understand that either.
I don't understand why things aren't all backwards compatible. How do you go forward but you can't go backwards?
Right.
That's what it is.
See, I'm trying.
There's that damn trying to corner the market shit where you have to go get a damn PlayStation 1 just to play your old shit.
That's all it is. When PS3 can play PS2 games, I was like, are you serious? Like, so
right.
But you can play DVDs?
Right.
But you can't play CD-ROMs? Or like DVD CD-ROMs? That's all PlayStation 2 was. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
straight Blu-ray. That was supposed to be the ultimate Blu-ray player.
I mean, right. Blu-ray plays the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't it? It didn't make any sense.
It really
did. Yeah, it never made sense to me.
Didn't the first one do it, though?
Hmm.
Yeah, PlayStation 2 played PlayStation 1 games, yes. But PlayStation 3 games did not. PlayStation 3 did not play PlayStation 2
the
games.
First generation
they played PlayStation
did,
1 games.
One. The first station.
Oh, they had.
The first generation did. Because
you know
it had,
what I'm like,
it had
the
whole thing that you could put your limited. PlayStation 2 memory card and PlayStation 1 memory card in.
Yeah, yeah. Those were super limited.
Yep, they were. I sure had one, though.
They were very limited. And that's the issue.
Yep. Because once they came out with the second generation, you couldn't do it anymore.
Somebody eating their microphone?
Nah.
Mm-mm.
Can't hear
you.
Very well.
Is that somebody
eating?
Nah.
Sound like,
turned off.
Nah, for a second, it just sounded like somebody was finagling with a microphone.
Uh-uh. Oh, the phone was in my hand. I did have to check something. I was checking like an article, trying to double check something. So I was like, yeah, you kind of called me. I was checking. The smallest of articles, just to see what's out there, you know.
Yeah.
Mackie, were you ever able to finish High School Girl?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Been playing the fucking game too much.
Hey, ain't no
Is
such
that
thing.
Me?
Been playing the PlayStation too
Celeste,
much.
Celeste, you still in debt. You climbing out of debt yet?
She ain't never gonna get out of debt.
She never gonna get out
of debt. Tom Nook never lets you get out of debt, dog.
No, I'm never gonna be out of debt.
No, that's the whole premise of fucking Animal Crossing. You'll never be out of debt.
I still too on
Animal
those,
Crossing, where they give you a realistic, hold on, where they give you a realistic concept of what it means to be a
victim of venture capitalism.
POC in America.
Okay.
Yeah, because once the game starts, it's like, oh, hey, you're living in this tent. You don't want to live in this tent forever, do you? My name is Tom Nook. I'll buy you a house, but you got to pay me back, though. And that's how the game starts.
Gotcha.
Well, I told you how a first game starts, how it first started missing. You had to pay back your travel package to get to where you are.
But you didn't choose to go there.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, I did choose what island I went to, but it was a getaway package.
It you didn't choose to run away. Yeah, you didn't choose to run away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to upgrade your house. So how about you have to pay to make the bridge to build other people's houses?
So, recently on comicbook.com, they did a post, and the post was about Captain Marvel being the next Avengers movie, just off of the strength of, we're just going to make the next Captain Marvel movie like we did Civil War.
She is supposed to be.
And just make it, the movie with everyone in it. And, the comment section was aflamed of fans and disfans and people who just couldn't wait to share their two cents on their ignorance or their prejudice or whatever the fuck they got going on. The power compelled me to just chime in too, because fuck it, I want to be a part of this thread. Fuck it.
I'm confused. What is the situation?
The situation is Captain Marvel being the next Avengers movie because her just not carrying a movie on her own. They're just going to use her movie to be like Civil War was with Captain America.
So you mean
supposedly Spider-Man supposed to be in her movie.
Right.
Then she's Captain supposed to be Marvel, the leader of
movie
the
being the next Avengers that, movie. So. Like it being a Captain Marvel movie.
She is an Avengers leader.
So with that, I decided just jump in the comments like, fuck it, I'm here. Basically where I landed when I got to the end of this shit was I landed on the idea of like, wait a minute. Like, look, man, I don't care what kind of social justice crazy shit you, whatever the fuck you give me, whatever gender you want to give me, just give me action and a fight. I said, the bigger issue is, my issue is, bro, she don't have anybody that can challenge her because she's strong as fuck. She needs a fucking threat. So then I got to thinking. My mind got to twirling. It could have been up, man. Nah, fuck Rogue, too obvious. I don't want Rogue. I tell you what I do
they
want.
They keep saying it's going to be Rogue, and I'm just like, all right.
Nah, you know, who I want against Captain Marvel? Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer being Captain Marvel's foe. Like, if you set the standard of Silver Surfer's power being he can rival Captain Marvel. Like,
but they never were at odds with each other.
It ain't got.
Yeah, they've never been at odds together. But, that doesn't work because
like,
they
even
work
in
the
comic
the
book, there was never a situation where there was a misunderstanding between them.
Yeah, he completely gets Carol and Carol gets him. Because they're both.
They understand each
entities.
Other's position.
But I'm just saying, if you introduced me Galactus and Silver Surfer and you didn't have a Fantastic Four, if you wanted to give me that, you could do it with Captain Marvel.
You don't have to rely on the fucking Fantastic Four. That's what I keep telling
you. That's what I'm saying. You could give me Captain Marvel and Silver Surfer.
No, you don't need to rely on that either. You don't need to rely on that either.
It's kind of like when they were saying they wanted to make Namor the bad person. Namor the bad person in Black Panther. I'm like, y'all,
he's not the bad guy, but you can have Namor have a misunderstanding. No, but no, what I was going to say is you can have Namor have a misunderstanding with Black Panther at first and then have them team up against the common enemy.
Hold on.
Like,
yeah.
But that's not the kind of formula you want to use
going forward. Speaking of Black Panther, they came. The internet was a cause for a great. A riot and concern of Chadwick Boseman this week.
Yeah, looking crackheaded.
When he posted pictures of him looking super skinny.
Yeah.
Since he's a method actor, I'm assuming he's absorbing some role. He's lost a bunch of weight to play a certain role.
Or maybe this motherfucker just hanging out at the house, bro. He can't.
But that
work
motherfucker looks so thin. I'm like, damn,
he
Chadwick.
Can't work out,
you are not filming Black Panther, bro.
He got new roles coming up.
Got to. He looks so skinny.
But I mean, everybody's quarantined at the house, bro. Like,
chat with just like, I'm soaking up.
Right. That joke had the beard looking super fresh.
Super fresh. I'm like, damn, bro, you look like damn. What's that move? The Machinist.
Yeah.
Looking like your boy in The Machinist.
Hell yeah. Oh, man.
Dog, he lost all that weight for that movie. That shit was gross. Man. But I admire the commitment. Like, damn, bro.
Shit.
Yeah. But Silver Surfer. And Carol being at odds don't work.
All right, fine. I tried, man.
You did, but
it don't work because they never was at odds with each other.
They have never been at odds.
Not even when she was by
Adam. That's the thing. When you get on a cosmic level, most of the cosmic entities understand everybody's place in the world. It's
plus, if you use the damn cosmic shit, you can kind of like tap into everybody's mind that uses cosmic
and
energy.
Everybody, like, that's why Adam Warlock understands a lot of things because he's tapped in with the whole Marvel concepts and all of them. Because it's like,
I mean, that's James Gunn, we know.
Yeah, but
I was like, that's what I fucking want. That's what I want. I
want
to see what you're gonna do with Adam Warlock.
Him. I do want Adam. And I do want Adam, but I
tired
do want
the
Silver Surfer.
I just don't want it to be Zac Efron.
I don't care. So
they made me want to get Cobra on the line because he tried to come with me with his Iron Man theory this week.
No, that shit was bullshit, dog.
And I was trying to tell you.
I went him at first and then he went off on a tangent. I was like, Rob, you just talking shit because you think you know what you're saying.
I was like, nah, bro, no one sees Iron Man 3 and thinks this shit.
You see some shit that you think is sounds profound. Somebody calling in?
No, I'm calling myself. Oh. Jump pick, I'm going back to Rob. I just thought I'd be seamless.
Hello?
Well, Rob Cobain, thank you for calling this Please podcast, man. You know, it's a pleasure to have you on today, man.
Oh yeah, man. Always a pleasure to kick it with the ninjas.
Yeah, man. Now, we call, you know, we made this connection because you had some deep thoughts, and I wanted to expand on those thoughts because I said that, hey, when we go pod, we're going to give you a chance to go to Ninja Court and plead your case.
Okay.
So now that we
defend my case of Iron Man 3.
Defend your case of Iron Man 3, and we need it here at Ninja Court. We have Supreme Judges, Residing Elders, Mackie O'Meeks.
Yeah. No, the hell you don't.
I don't know why the hell you got that shit. All right, Macio the Tanuki, the one and only Tanuki.
Ain't no damn minks around this bitch.
We got Red Panda Celeste, and we got Yuki, the Nine-Tails Fox, motherfucker who do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
You trying to make me a furry dog.
And here we got the Cobra. So Cobra. Iron Man 3. Go ahead and give me the spill.
Oh my god.
Yes, hit it.
Iron Man 3, upon rewatching it after the Infinity Saga, I noticed a few little trinkets in there that really hints on, like, okay, I got a legacy that I got to protect, so how will I protect this legacy? And when I started noticing that, it played up into the point where, like, I'm a dad with resources, so how can I spread these resources out to all the people that I've influenced or will influence will be able to benefit from this? And this is before Spider-Man came into the fray.
Yeah.
So that when Spider-Man came into the fray, it solidified what I saw him, like, going through.
Okay.
What Tony was doing in Iron Man 3 was trying to mentally grasp the reality of what he is and what he has become. Even though his ego would always say he was ready for that, but in reality, once he seen that, when he said the end game is this, when it came from the sky, it changed his whole perspective because Iron Man was always dealing with men.
No, once he went through the portal in the first Avengers movie, he knew it was more than him.
Right.
That was what he was trying to come to terms with.
Right.
Once he met Pete, it became about more than.
But that was after Iron Man 2.
After the fact, though.
Because, like, I feel like, I'm going to say it now, you giving Iron Man 3 way too much credit.
Yeah.
Way too much credit, because I'm telling you, all the answers that I feel you gave me, you got in Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home. They gave you everything that you need on Iron Man.
Those were the seeds that got planted.
No, that was the tree, bro. Like, the seeds been planted. That's when you actually got the tree to grow.
Well, it started sprouting up out of the ground then. Because with Iron Man, like I said, with Iron Man 3, the fact that it was, if we take away our disappointment with Mandarin, And other things, it's other things. It's more like, oh, I'm losing my mind. What am I gonna do? Get what I'm saying?
Or
if you, maybe because I went into that little edge too. Once you go, it's like a little edge. And the fact that there's so many things that made me realize that Tony Stark was trying not to lose his mind because he grasped the gravity of what he was. You know.
No, Tony did lose his mind. That's kind of like, what saved him.
He wasn't Asgardian. It wasn't nothing special that came out of a bottle or a laboratory that made him great. It was his mind and his ingenuity.
Okay, I get that. And I concur, because that's what made Tony smart. He had to survive Afghanistan. He went back out there and he just, look,
Tony,
we got
did
Tony.
He lose his mind.
Tony
lost his mind the moment he went into space and realized that once he went in that damn black hole and saw that there was shit on the other side of it.
Thor was doing incredible shit, but it took Tony seeing like that.
He still knew certain aspects of physics that was able to explain shit Thor did up to a point. That's where Thor ties in with science. Like, that's what Spider-Man was talking about. Oh, yeah, you know, nobody knew about Thor, but now we study him in physics class.
Right. I remember when she said that.
He said physics class.
Right.
Like, not Iron Man, but people think of Thor as a guy who changed the way that we think of history or we think of religion or whatever. No, that motherfucker was way more influential in the field of science because of the way that this motherfucker existed on Earth.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay. Now, yep, Cobra, you I don't know, man. This Spider-Man correlation is honestly why I had to differ with you, because you had but me, and I kind of agreed, but I feel like you just gave it too much credit. Because
this is why the Spider-Man correlations is getting with you. You don't know how long Tony was watching Peter.
I do know how long he was watching Peter.
We all know that. We all do know that. Because Pete, there was no like hidden time when Pete existed outside of us knowing he existed in the MCU. When we got introduced to
Peter,
when we got introduced to Tom Holland's version of Spider-Man, that was when he existed in
Civil
MCU.
War. It was Civil fucking War.
He wasn't studying him behind the scenes and none of that shit. It wasn't none of that going on. Right. None of that. He didn't know about Pete till we knew about Pete.
Yeah.
The fact remains is Tony Stark knew exactly who Peter Parker Spider-Man was. The rest of the world knew it was YouTube videos and a friendly neighborhood guy, the spider guy. Tony Stark figured out who this kid was, and put him on a mission.
No, Tony didn't have to even figure it out. Tony already knew. Okay, right, what you're saying is you're thinking about it from the fact of, Tony Stark knew who Pete was as soon as he decided to become Spider-Man, and he knew before he even went to his apartment. Like, no, it wasn't that. It was
he knew he had a skill that needed to be. He had something that needed to be cultivated.
He
was out there raw talent saving the world, and Tony was like, "No, man, you got too much potential, and I got stuff that's back in. And with you and with me, the future is intact."
I think it was more or less like Iron Man got lucky, bro. He was just on the internet. He was just surfing the internet like everybody do. He seen the kid. He had the technology to find the kid. And he popped up on the kid. And he wasn't just some regular kid. He was
he was
pretty smart.
He was a superhero.
Right. He's like, I know who you are and I know what you're doing.
Right. He was a businessman. He seen potential. He seen the opportunity to make something happen. You know what I'm saying? So you go from that, from a business aspect.
But see, no, he wasn't thinking about it from a business aspect at that point. Before he met
business,
no, before he met Pete, no, see, what you're thinking about it is after he met Pete and started hanging with him and stuff, that's when he decided to have this, I'm going to try to nurture him and be the father type figure.
Right.
He already had that mentality before he met Pete, but once he understood the way that Pete functioned in the world, that's what gave him the idea to be like, well, maybe he could be the next Iron Man.
Right.
But he made the wrong choice because Pete never wanted to be Iron Man. Pete never wanted to be Iron Man.
There you go. So the successor of the father who don't want the reluctant son has got to fill into the father's shoes that didn't want to be as good as his dad, but now he got to be because dad's not there, which is Spider-Man Tony Stark. And also the other little things that they was hinting on, like in that, we upset about Mandarin and extremists, definitely. But I also think that, like, with the background of it, with the Rhodey and Pepper, the extended family stuff, what happened was like, okay, when this guy's gone, these are the people that's going to really carry on.
But they weren't like, hinting to it.
No, they weren't.
But Iron Man was still Iron Man, bro. He still came out on top.
There was no inclination for that. It wasn't
Happy
like
got
no,
hurt, bro. Happy
right,
got...
It wasn't no hidden nuggets.
Iron Man 3 was collateral. Everyone who is like Iron Man is invincible. That doesn't mean the people around him invincible.
Purposely collateral damage. I think all the stuff that like for the characters that we're not focusing on, like the stuff that was going on with Rhodey, him and his little background, what he dealing with the government, and what happens with
stuff got addressed though.
Right.
All that got addressed. That's why he chose to become War Machine, and he chose to defy the military. And
he was the buffer.
And work strictly with Tony.
He was the buffer. I feel... And I don't know, Cobra.
The conversation with Ross after Endgame between Thaddeus Ross and James Rhodes when everybody come back.
I mean, I'm trying to get what you're getting at because it just sounds
it's the stuff that I'm saying. It was like, okay,
the connection to the Thunderbolts ain't going to come from Tony. It's not going to come from that.
Tony, but it's going to be a cataclysmic things of what Tony did.
I think everything that you're going to get with Tony, you already got, bro. Right. You ain't getting nothing new.
What Marvel's doing is not going to be some stuff that's like, oh, Tony's legacy left this, and now we have to deal with the
fallout. Yeah, it's like, it's gone, bro. You got it. You got it in Spider-Man 4. I feel like everything, the last little remnants of Tony.
The fallout of Tony is in Spider-Man.
In Spider-Man, yeah. Far From Home, bro, that was it. They solidified him as Uncle Ben.
I don't think so,
because what's the point of giving me more if you ain't going to give me Tony?
The last thing we going
to
get.
Tony made the ultimate sacrifice. What else is there to give?
Until we get new Avengers and all that stuff, the only thing we gonna get is Black Widow. That's it. Okay. So I got a question real quick.
All right.
Yeah.
How expensive was it to be an anime fan in the 90s versus now?
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was then. Because the trend had caught on and motherfuckers just...
This shit's so inexpensive now. It's stupid. It's the same thing with fucking K-pop now. K-pop is so inexpensive compared to the way it used to
be. Oh, no, anything.
Like 10 years ago.
No,
anything and important.
The true answer is any fandom is extremely cheap now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read you this article I came across.
VHS tapes for Sailor Moon, the Doomtree series, during like...
Oh, no, that was like legendary
first
shit.
Came out. That was $200.
The top three series you heard of that were like the most expensive was Sailor Moon, Rurouni Kenshin, and Inuyasha.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the most expensive anime series you heard of back then. Or what was that other one?
You know, what was really great was the fact that my mom worked at Media Play. So like, I got a lot of the shit discounted for like 50% when Media Play first opened. So I got a little bit of a discount, but...
Now, I'm going to read this article to y'all, and the price tags that they name are price tags that I never saw in my time collecting VHS back in the day.
Okay.
So if y'all give me a tick or two, I will rattle this on off.
Well, you sound like straight granddad.
Are we recording?
No, we're not recording. What are you talking about? I don't know.
It's a podcast. We just kicking the shit.
Yeah, I don't know what this recording is. Hey, it's a puffin. Oh, look at that. Look at that.
I had to walk to my mailbox and get mail. That's all I'm saying.
It is adorable. Recording. No, it's all good. So here we go here. It says, anime fandom is expensive, period. It didn't say period on there. The period is the punctuation at the end. Point blank, that's a very true first statement to make. Whether you buy figurines, read manga, or stream anime online, you're going to have to spend a good deal of money to enjoy the hobby you love. There are many people who complain about Crunchyroll's $6.95 per month or Funimation's $7.95 or sub only $4.95. Manga can cost a whole $10 a volume. Oh, that's so...
Cool.
Oh,
try
my
13.
God. That's so expensive. Right, exactly. Yeah,
try 13
exactly.
For something that's called... And be hyperlexic. Be hyperlexic. Where that $10 is over in 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
takes
exactly.
Takes me 5 minutes to read a whole volume of a manga.
Thank you. Figurines can range from a few dollars to hundreds of dollars. You need deep pockets to be an anime fan these days. However, as expensive as the fandom might appear, you needed even deeper pockets to be an anime fan back in the 90s. In the old days, you had to shell out way more to get far less. Anime fans living in 2020 are lucky they weren't around 25 years earlier, when fan sub tapes carried 4 episodes of cassette. Manga was sold by the chapter, and anime news magazines cost more than a year's worth of Crunchyroll. I mean, they're kind of not wrong on that. They're not wrong.
$24.
Tell them about that new type magazine.
Right, you know,
that new type magazine. That new type magazine was a whole dub.
Right.
It was a whole dub.
It
was like 21
DVD. But you got a DVD with like 5-6 episodes on it, and every new type had at least the first 3 or 4 chapters of the first volume of up to, I'll say, maybe 5 different manga titles.
Yeah.
The main way people watched anime back in the old days was either on television or through VHS tapes. While many people remember Toonami and Kids WB anime, these slots didn't really show anime until the end of the 90s. Yeah, a lot of people that just caught on to us, y'all don't know nothing about that time. Y'all probably didn't even exist. Girl. Y'all was swimming around in the testicles.
Damn.
Back then.
I mean,
this nigga said testicles.
After that, then you only had, remember when Crunchyroll wasn't legit?
No, hey, no. Even before that, dog, no. Sputnik 7. Sputnik 7.
I mean, Diatabio subtitles.
Come on, man. Let's be real.
That's why you got your Dragon Ball.
Taking you a whole 8 hours of school day to download 35 seconds of a clip. Yep. Bro. Let's be real. Before that.
Then you had stuff that you could only torrent.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. You way too in the future.
Yeah, we weren't even torrent.
I was about to say, you had to have decent internet. Back then.
I know you couldn't back then. You had to watch shit on freaking... You couldn't even watch shit on YouTube because didn't exist then.
Oh, no. Let me finish the article. It gets way deeper.
Okay.
So, before all that, even the stuff we were just talking about, things in the 90s, anime was primarily aired on the Sci-Fi Channel, not S-Y-F-Y that y'all know. Sci-Fi as in science fiction. Yeah, many cult classic anime like Vampire Hunter D were introduced to fans thanks to these infrequent showcases. Because anime was shown so infrequently on television, most fans during the early to mid-90s had to get their fix through VHS. Companies like Manga Entertainment, Central Park Media, Anime Ego, and ADVision, later known as ADV,
ADVision and
license ADV. And distribute anime
and manga entertainment.
And manga, yep. That was the first one they called, yep.
Yeah. That's how you got the Street Fighter.
Sometimes only contain one episode per cassette, as seen with Manga Entertainment's release of Geno Cyber and AD Police.
Bro, that shit be a whole dub for just one take with one movie.
Right.
Like Disney selling their shit for like $14. Your shit a whole to 29, dub.
20 you know what I'm saying? 30 for one episode on a VHS.
It was real.
30 minutes. 30 minutes, dog.
Yep.
Not 45, 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Oh, man.
Traffic group.
You had to know a good bootlegger back in that day.
Box sets could cost upwards of $100. While some anime could be purchased in stores or at conventions, many VHS tapes were sold through special mail order delivery, meaning that on top of the price of the tape,
you have to pay additional shipping.
Yep. Worse still, the visual quality could vary because it's a fucking bootleg. Oh, man.